astrology, namely the 12 zodiacal animals and the 7 primary colours, each a triplet in shade, that is, the light, the primary, and the dark, stand for the 33 letters of the simple alphabet, for words and sentences. For in this method, the 12 animals, 5 times repeated, and coupled with the 5 elements and the 7 colours, furnish a whole alphabet composed of 60 sacred letters and 12 signs. A sign placed at the beginning of the text determines whether the reader has to spell it according to the Indian mode, when every word is simply a Sanskrit adaptation, or according to the Chinese principle of reading the ideographs. The easiest way, however, is that which allows the reader to use no special or any language he likes, as the signs and symbols were, like the Arabian numerals or figures, common and international property among initiated mystics and their followers. The same peculiarity is characteristic of one of the Chinese modes of writing, which can be read with equal facility by anyone acquainted with the character. For instance, a Japanese can read it in his own language as readily as a Chinaman in his. The Book of the Golden Precepts, some of which are pre-Buddhistic, while others belong to a later date, contains about 90 distinct little treatises. Of these I learnt 39 by heart, years ago. To translate the rest, I should have to resort to notes scattered among a too large number of papers and memoranda collected for the last 20 years and never put in order, to make of it by any means an easy task. Nor could they be all translated and given to a world too selfish and too much attached to the objects of sense to be in any way prepared to receive such exalted ethics in the right spirit. For, unless a man perseveres seriously in the pursuit of self-knowledge, he will never lend a willing ear to advice of this nature. And yet such ethics fill volumes upon volumes in Eastern literature, especially in the Upanishads. "Kill out all desire of life," says Krishna to Arjuna. That desire lingers only in the body, the vehicle of the embodied self, not in the self which is eternal, indestructible, which kills not, nor is it killed. Katha Upanishad. Kill out sensation, teaches Sutta Nipata. Look alike on pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat. Again, seek shelter in the eternal alone. Destroy the sense of separateness, repeats Krishna under every form. The mind, manas, which follows the rambling senses, makes the soul, buddhi, as helpless as the boat which the wind leads astray upon the waters. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 70. Therefore, it has been thought better to make a judicious selection only from those treatises which will best suit the few real mystics in the Theosophical Society, which are sure to answer their needs. It is only these who will appreciate these words of Krishna Christos, the higher self. Sages do not grieve for the living, nor the dead. Never did I not exist, nor you, nor these rulers of men, nor will any one of us ever hereafter cease to be. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 27. In this translation, I have done my best to preserve the poetical beauty of language and imagery which characterized the original. How far this effort has been successful is for the reader to judge. H.P.B. Fragment 1. The Voice of the Silence. These instructions are for those ignorant of the dangers of the lower Iddhi. He who had learned the voice of Nada, the soundless sound, and comprehended, he has to learn the nature of Dharana. Having become indifferent to objects of perception, the pupil must seek out the Raj of the senses, the thought producer, he who awakes illusion. The mind is the great slayer of the real. Let the disciple slay the slayer. For, when to himself his form appears unreal, as do on waking all the forms he sees in dreams, when he has ceased to hear the many, he may discern the one, the inner sound which kills the outer. Then only, not till then, shall he forsake the region of Asat, the fault.